Well, it is our joy tonight to have the privilege to hear the testimonies of three in baptism. Just to remind you that when we come to baptism, it is not to accomplish anything in the soul of the person. It is a commemoration, a celebration, a reminder of what has already happened in their soul. Those who will be baptized have already come to a place where they have repented of their sins. They have put their faith in Jesus Christ, in His perfect life, in His substitutionary death, died in their place, in His resurrection as their only hope of ever being right with God, as their only hope of heaven. They have already come to that place. And in doing so, at that very moment, they pass from death unto life. Baptism merely commemorates that reality. And so tonight it is our joy to hear from those who are going to share with you their story, their testimony of how God in His grace brought them to that place of repentance and faith in Christ. And baptism simply celebrates that and in a visual way pictures that they have now confessed Jesus as Lord. And they have died to the person they used to be. As they go under the water, it pictures that reality. And they have been raised in Christ to a new life, a life of obedience and devotion to Him as they come up out of the water. And so I hope you'll pray for them as they share their testimonies tonight. And I hope that you will even remember them in the weeks to come, that God would continue the work that He's begun in their hearts.
Hello, my name is Hillary Hardiman, and this is my testimony. I was worried that I wouldn't be able to see over this, so I'm glad I'm tall enough. I've been blessed to grow up in a godly home. I've been surrounded by a loving family that has always pointed me towards the truth. I've also been attending Countryside my whole life. Because of these factors, I've obviously been surrounded by the truth of God's Word and excellent teaching. When I was young, I remember thinking to myself, I don't want to go to hell. So I remember praying each night, Jesus, please come into my heart. However, this wasn't real. I wasn't a Christian. I didn't truly understand the gospel. Deep down inside, I knew I wasn't a believer. I had an unsettled peace. That's why I would continually pray to God, Jesus, come into my heart. I loved my sin. I loved myself. I was first in this world. I was selfish, a liar, a hypocrite, full of pride, and a wretched sinner. I put on a show. When I would get caught in my sin, I would be sad just because I got caught, not because I was truly repentant. As I got older, I told others that I was a Christian, but once again, deep down, I knew I wasn't. I was blinded by my own sin. In junior high, I even served on ministry teams in the youth group. I had everyone fooled. I said all the right answers, but I knew I wasn't saved, and I held on to my love of self and sin. In my early teenage years, I was in a constant pattern of sin, of lying. I would lie about everything and anything. My parents would often sit down and talk with me about my sin, but my heart was hardened towards the gospel. I would never be truly repentant, and would only do so because it was the right thing to do. In early high school, I got my first job. This was the first time that my eyes were truly open to the evil in this world. God opened my eyes and revealed His mercy, kindness, and love towards me. Despite how guilty I was, God was softening my heart towards Him. Isaiah 64:8 says, "But now, O Lord, You are our Father. We are the clay, and You are our potter. And all of us are the work of Your hand." I realized that I didn't want to be like the world. I knew I was guilty and that I deserved death. I knew I needed Christ. In James 2:10 it says, "For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point, he has become guilty of all." I can't tell you the exact time and place that I became a believer, but over a period of time it was clear to me that I had a true desire to obey God and keep His commands. Now that I'm a believer, the Holy Spirit convicts me when I'm sinning, and now I'm truly repentant. When I sin, I'm saddened by the way I've offended my God, and I make an effort to seek forgiveness to Him and anyone that I sinned against. I'm still not perfect. I sin daily. But I take comfort in Romans 6:14, for sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. And also in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. I'm here tonight to share with you my story, a story that I don't deserve. Why would God choose me? I deserve nothing. It is because of the grace of my eternal and sovereign God, I did nothing to become a Christian. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Christ is now my confidence in life. I have a desire to honor and glorify him in everything I do. One of my favorite hymns says this, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but in whole, it's nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. Because of the redeeming love of my Heavenly Father and his Son, Jesus Christ, I can now truly say it is well with my soul, and that is why I'm here tonight, to be baptized.
Well, Hillary, thank you for sharing your heart with us. Thank you for letting us walk that journey with you that the Lord took you through. Because you are not the person you used to be, because you are a new creation in Jesus Christ, it is my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hello, my name is John Patterson. I'm 25 years old and grateful to know the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm fortunate to have been raised in a Christian home by a loving and patient family here in Texas. Around the age of 13, I began to rebel and defy any and all authority. I was an adrenaline junkie and lived for thrill and pleasure. I loved my sin and soon began selling and using a wide variety of drugs. My greed and self-absorbed lifestyle evolved into violence and drug addiction. I was in and out of jail and had totaled 3 cars and a motorcycle by the age of 21. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, Ephesians 2. On February 27, 2014, while waiting for a court hearing in Tarrant County Jail, I got a visit from my dad. It was his 67th birthday. He would visit me and encourage me to get a Bible and read God's Word. I'd continued to lie and told him that I'd requested a Bible from the chaplain's office. After visiting with me, he went home to have his birthday dinner with my mom. I would later find out that he had a massive heart attack that night after dinner. I was crushed and completely devastated that my dad may possibly die with a rebellious and deeply troubled son with whom he must be disappointed. Because of my lifestyle and drug and alcohol abuse, I was often in between vehicles. He would take me to and from court-required programs. He was always calm and patient, a faithful man, encouraging me to turn from my lifestyle of sin and rebellion. I would later find out that he passed away on March 6, 2014, at Baylor Grapevine after failed attempts to stabilize him after his heart attack. I soon began to blame myself for all the added stress in his life and concluded that I was the reason for his heart attack. Up until this time, I felt little to no regret or sympathy for all the people I had wronged in my life, but the reality of my dad passing while I was in jail was devastating. I met a chaplain named John who presented me with the Gospel of John. I then received a Bible in the mail with my name written on the inside cover, clearly my dad's handwriting. I began to read the Gospel of John out of obedience to my dad. I had no reverence or grasp for the reality of God's word, for the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, 1 Corinthians 1:18. Very early into the Gospel of John, the reality of the word began to hold weight. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove your heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh, Ezekiel 36:26. As the Lord softened my heart, I began to see that as I read verses like John 5:29, those who did the good deeds to resurrection of life those who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment, that I was the one committing the evil deeds, that I was facing judgment. I love my sin, but was completely terrified to learn that I am guilty before a just, all-powerful, all-knowing God. How could I ever make up for all the people I hurt, the things I stole, and all the evil that I loved so much? There was no way that I could ever be good enough or strong enough to turn from this lifestyle of sin. By grace alone, I put my trust in Jesus Christ as Lord, repented from my lifestyle of sin, trusting that only the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ would pay my debt. By the grace of God, I came to trust that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth as a real man in the flesh. He lived a perfect and sinless life. He was crucified to pay my debt, to cover my sin. He was buried, and on the third day he rose from the grave, conquering death. I would later learn that not only am I forgiven and debt-free, but that Christ's perfect righteousness is credited to me, and I am now righteous in God's sight. Paul states in Colossians 1, although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death, in order to present you before him holy and blameless beyond reproach, if indeed you continue in the faith firmly established and steadfast. The word of God became of much importance. The rest of 1 Corinthians 1:18 reads, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Sitting alone in a jail cell, knowing my dad just passed away, while disappointed in me, I somehow was at peace. I was utterly broken and worthless, yet I had more peace at that time than I'd ever experienced in my life. Many radical changes occurred and have continued throughout my life in Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. By the grace of God, my heart and desires for God's word continues to grow. He has freed me from slavery to sin and has afforded me over 3 years sobriety from drugs and alcohol. God's word has a powerful grasp on my heart. By grace alone, there has been a new awareness and brokenness over my sin. I am grateful to take a step of obedience tonight through believer's baptism. God has surrounded me with faithful brothers in Christ, a faithful church, a loving family, and assurance that he who began a good work in me will perfect it until the day of Christ.
Well, John, thank you. Thank you so much for such a clear articulation of the gospel that you came to understand from the gospel of John, from the faithful testimony of a dad and others, because you have embraced the gospel of Jesus Christ as your only hope of being right with God, of forgiveness, of sharing his eternal presence. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Good evening. My name is Gloria Daniel. When I started Partners about a year ago, I had a very hard time writing my testimony at the end of lesson one. As I'd always done in writing or giving my testimony, I started with, at age 10, I responded to an invitation at summer camp and accepted Jesus into my heart. I just couldn't get past that first sentence and fit it into my relationship to Christ and everything God had been teaching me for years through his word. In college, I'd heard about election and rejected it. I examined that teaching about 15 years ago, and after studying the scriptures, accepted it as truth. When we started attending Countryside, I had the privilege of hearing God's word taught in a way I'd never heard before. When I studied the men of the word lessons with my husband, I was hearing totally new material as I studied the section on the Ordo Salutis. This is Latin for the order of salvation. I listened to a verse-by-verse presentation of God's plan to save people from the penalty of their sin and give them his gift of salvation, and then to prepare them to spend eternity with him. It is a chronological order of events relating to our salvation that occur either before, during, or after our conversion. The list was long, with election, effectual calling, regeneration, faith, repentance, positional sanctification, justification, adoption, progressive sanctification, perseverance, and glorification. There was a lot to absorb and study. I began to realize through Scripture just how little I'd had to do with being saved or born again. God had either done it all, or it was in response to his drawing me and enabling me. All of this study reaffirmed what I knew in my heart. I was a believer. In struggling to write my testimony, I began to pray and ask God to show me in his word when he had saved me. I wanted my life to be based on truth. I knew he was sanctifying me, and I was persevering in my faith. But when did it happen? I believe that once you belong to Jesus, your salvation cannot be taken away from you. I believe that Jesus was my Lord and my Savior. However, what I've been taught about having a stick in the ground at the point you accepted Christ and having assurance of your salvation at that point did not match up with what God had been teaching me. At age 10, when I walked down the aisle, I wanted to go to heaven. After all, who would want to go to hell? I even took a class on how to read my Bible. I didn't read it very often because I didn't understand most of it. The little I did read did not convince me that I was a Christian, but no one questioned my salvation. I grew up with a lot of nagging doubts. I was living the life outwardly of a Christian, but fought the losing battle with sin for years. As I studied 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone's in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. I realized I had not been regenerated or born again at age 10. There was not a change in my life. Oh, I wanted to be like Jesus, but God had not changed my life. The Westminster Confession describes my life from age 10 to about 40. Works done by unregenerate men, although for the matter of them they may be things which God commands and of good use both to themselves and others, yet because they proceed not from an heart purified by faith, nor are done in a right manner according to the word, nor to a right end, the glory of God, they are therefore sinful and cannot please God or make a man meet to receive grace from God. And yet their neglect of them is more sinful and displeasing unto God. I knew there had to have been a time in my life that God had saved me, because I knew Romans 8:16, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, to be true in my life. God reminded me of a time when I was broken before him. I would usually ask God to forgive me, but I knew I would be weak and fail, or I would just want to repeat my sin. This time I realized that I was a sinner and could do nothing but sin. I repented and turned away from what I knew to be true in my life. For the first time, I was able to resist sin. For the first time, I had a complete commitment to forsake it and walk in obedience to Christ in all things. I knew the reality of Acts 8:22. Therefore, repent of this wickedness of yours and pray the Lord that, if possible, the intention of your heart may be forgiven you. I realized I had no faith of my own. Philippians 1:29 says, "For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake to believe in him." With David, I could say, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight." After that time, I wanted to read the Bible. God gave me his Holy Spirit so I could study, understand, and apply what I read. It was only through his power that I could live a godly life. As I thought about that time and looked at it through the grid of Scripture, not the grid of what I'd been taught about hearing the pastor's invitation, walking the aisle, and asking Jesus into my heart, I knew that I was not saved at age 10, but about the age of 40. This was further verified as I compared my life after that with what it had been before. My union with Christ had ended the reign of sin in my life. I will never be free from sin until this old body dies, but I can have victory. Sin is no longer my master. Prior to God saving me, I struggle with doubts about my salvation. After he saved me, I still struggle sometimes because I didn't see how I could have been a believer when I was younger and yet have ignored God and his word and have loved my sin more than him for so long. Now I know the meaning of Romans 2:4. Do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? I asked God to show me in his word when he had saved me. He lovingly gave me the wisdom I sought. James 1:5 says, "But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him." God had demonstrated his own love toward me in that while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. It was around the first part of the year that all this came together in my heart. In my pride, I was afraid to share it with anyone. God would not have his glory stolen away, though. He immediately presented an opportunity for me to share my testimony. I began to share, and he began to bless through it. I praise God for being in a church that teaches the truth in Scripture the way God, the author, meant it to be presented and understood. As I have shared this testimony with family and my countryside family, I've been met with love and rejoicing. I am grateful to be in a church that I can not only trust the teaching, but be encouraged to study, serve, and love others. Knowing that I was not born again at the age of 10 when I was baptized, and to demonstrate what the Lord has already accomplished in my life through salvation, and in obedience to Jesus, I would like to request to be rebaptized.
Gloria, thank you so much for walking through what the Lord has done in your heart and life to bring you to himself, as well as to bring you to a knowledge of when you truly came to know him. Because you understand the true gospel, because you sought repentance from the Lord and he granted it to you, because you put your faith in Jesus Christ as your only hope, we do rejoice with you. And it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, those are wonderful, aren't they? Such an amazing thing, the work of God in the human soul. We rejoice. Let's pray together and thank God for his work in these lives. Our God, we give you alone the glory. You will share it with no one, for by grace are we saved, through faith, and even that is not of ourselves, but the entirety of our salvation is a gift of your grace to us, because we were dead. But you, in your mercy and grace, made us alive. Father, we exalt you. We thank you for each of these who have given their testimonies tonight. Lord, we pray for Hillary, for John, for Gloria. May they continue to know your grace, the grace of growth in holiness, the grace of ministry. Father, use them as you have used them tonight in our lives. And may we be faithful to pray for them, to encourage them, to build them up in their faith. Lord, we exalt you as the Redeemer, the God who seeks sinners and saves them in and through your Son. We give you praise in his name. Amen.